My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Sonocero. Big thanks to Matt McMullen of the Kansas City Chiefs stopping by. From the text line, Chris, somebody's upset we're not talking NBA playoffs.
But it's a draft special. If you've listened to this draft special, when have we ever gone in depth on the NBA playoffs? I've been here 11 years and we've never gone in depth on the playoffs for the NBA.
And somebody wanted to shout out to Mike Roch for his 21st birthday. Happy birthday, Mike. Enjoy your 21st.
Why would you fall for that, Bink?
Huh?
Why would you fall for that?
Oh, man. You're right.
What are you doing?
Oh, man. Mike, no, whatever. We'll move past that.
Come on, Bink. Come on, you are.
We'll move past that.
Why would you fall for that?
I don't know. People say one birthday shout outs all the time.
Don't do it.
Hey, I'm happy to do it.
No.
I'm happy to do it. All right. Our mock draft, we did a little trading. Not as many trades as will happen, Chris. We were kind of conservative on the trade meter. The Vikings trading down. We all think that's going to happen to the Cardinals. They'd be willing participants to build their roster up. So we have the Vikings trading down for a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the easiest trade-ups that we have seen and that we've like prognosticated in the NFL draft. We know that the Vikings really need a quarterback, especially now with Kirk Cousins being an ATL. So, I mean, I honestly kind of look at that situation, and now it makes Arizona a much more interesting trade partner, because they're going to have a lot more picks they can move, and that means that you're going to have a lot more opportunities to move up and get ahead of the Bills, who I think you have to look to get ahead of them. Unless the Bills move to like 17, you can't really do much then. But I still think like number 23, if that's a pick that's included in a trade between the Vikings and Cardinals for the Vikings to get to number 4, I think you absolutely want to be looking at 23 and move up there.
So what's our top 10?
So our top 10. So obviously the number one overall pick was going to be Caleb Williams.
It's like a free space on your draft board.
Yeah, I mean, we
get three points for that one.
We knew that was going to be the case there. That was a pick that, you know, hey, we know what he is. We've been talking about it all year. He's basically been the number one overall pick for this year since last year. Second overall was Jaden Daniels, quarterback for LSU, going to Washington. This is one that in the last couple days has been kind of locked in on all the sports books for them going to him going to Washington. Third overall, we got Drake May going to the Patriots. I know there has been talk about them moving out of that pick. I certainly think it's possible, but to me, I think you kind of look at that scenario for the Patriots, and it's like, this is really easy. This is super easy for them to do. We've got Minnesota trading with Arizona for the fourth overall pick and going J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan, which absolutely will make Thor Nystrom very excited. I kind of feel like you're trading a lot just to go get Brock Purdy. And, you know, if you like Brock Purdy a lot, cool. But I'm of the camp that you want to get a great quarterback, not a mediocre one. Fifth overall, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State, goes to the Chargers.
This would suck.
That would suck, but it's probably the reality considering the situation that they're in.
Unless New England trades that three, which I think can be really interesting.
Maybe. I mean, and even if they trade the three, it's probably still going to be a quarterback. So, like, even if that happens, I still think that this is going to be the scenario. Sixth overall, the Giants taking Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU. Pretty Ricky, the you know, anonymous insider,
yeah,
has been alluding to the Giants being a player at moving up and to go get a quarterback. I have my doubts about it, but it is possible. So they might be in play here, but if not, Malik Nabers would be a great addition. Seventh overall, Titans taking Joe Alt, tackle out of Notre Dame. That's one of the slam dunk picks of the top 10.
Because they're really building that offensive line.
Right.
So they, in signing older players.
Like you just need to do your best to surround Will Levis with as much talent as you possibly can.
But it was Skoronski last year, the tackle from Northwestern, right. They moved to left guard.
He ended up moving into guard very quickly.
So that's a pretty good line when you have Alt and Skoronski in back-to-back years.
Yeah, you'll take that. Eighth overall, you've got Dallas Turner, edge rusher, Alabama, going to ATL. Ninth overall, Byron Murphy, the second defensive tackle for Texas, going to Chicago. That's a really strong pick there. And then 10th overall, we've got the Jets taking Talisi Fuaga, tackle, Oregon State. I really think the tackle's a huge need for them. And, they're really hurting right now on their offensive line.
But it is, but a lot of smoke with Bowers there.
Oh, yeah, and they could very well go Bowers anyways, just because, you know, hey, we've seen teams win without the offensive line. We'll go surround our quarterback with more talent. But to me, you saw what happened to Aaron Rodgers in game one of the regular season. Make sure he doesn't get hit.
And we have a 10, Talisi Fuaga, of course, was right tackle at Oregon State. Again, we had these right tackle problems in this first round. Romo Dunze to Arizona because we traded with Minnesota.
Which would be their dream pick to be able to move back, get an additional first-round pick, and still get one of the Tier 1 receivers. That's a great move right
and
there.
And we had Brock Bowers to Denver. Obviously, they're looking for quarterback situation, but they do like Bowers a lot, and that would really suck. With our mock, having Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Chargers and Bowers to the Broncos.
They have been reported to be interested in McCarthy. How interested? Not sure. But it also wouldn't shock me if they went Bo Nix here, too. So I would not put that out of the equation there. They might also move back and take Bo Nix. So we'll see with that.
13 was Vegas. Quinyon Mitchell building up that secondary again. Thinking about Mahomes, how are we going to stop him in the future?
Probably the best corner in the draft class.
I think he's one of the best corners in the draft out of Toledo. Jared Verse, we go pass rusher at 14 in New Orleans. 15, Cooper DeJean from Iowa. 16, Graham Barton, who left tackle at Duke. A lot of people think he's still left tackle. He's not. He's played
He's a center.
He played some center at Duke, and he also was moved exclusively to center at the Senior Bowl this year. Latu, an edge from UCLA to Jacksonville at 17, which that would be maybe an interesting spot for the Chiefs if they really wanted to trade up, if somebody slides,
right,
that they really wanted. Fashanu, the tackle, to Cincinnati. We have finally Cincinnati trying to get tackle. They had a chance when they got Jamar Chase, which I think they made the right decision. They had him over Penei Sewell. A lot of people thought it was Penei Sewell to the Bengals. They ended up going with Jamar Chase, which made a lot of sense. Jazon Newton that we like a lot, that Illinois, Matt liked him a lot too. Brian Thomas Jr. to Pittsburgh. I actually seen him mocked quite a bit to Pittsburgh. 21, Troy Fatanu, the tackle to Washington. Jackson Power Johnson, probably the second best center to Philadelphia. Then come the Chiefs. We have the Chiefs moving down from 32 and drafting
Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver, Texas, 6'4", 196 pounds. Murphy throws a deep ball into the end zone. He's got Mitchell, and it's caught. Adonai Mitchell with the Texas touchdown. Mitchell is a big play receiver that makes plays all over the field. The second-team All-Big 12 receiver caught 10 touchdowns last season after transferring from Georgia and is no stranger to big games. He ran a blazing 4.3 4.40 at the NFL Combine, but it's his hands that need work at the next level. If he works on fine-tuning his game, Mitchell will be a headache all over the field at the pro level.
So we have the Chiefs dealing with Arizona, Dallas at J.C. Latham, the tackle from Alabama, Then Amarius Mims to Green Bay. Nate Wiggins, the corner, at 26 to Tampa. Terrion Arnold, one of the from Alabama. Khalid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold, maybe two first-round corner picks. We have Ladd McConkey going to Buffalo. That was a team to watch. Could they stay with Ladd there at 28, or did they make a move up, or did the Chiefs beat him in a move up like they did a few years ago with Trent McDuffie? Then Khalid McKinstry to Detroit. Ennis Rakestraw Jr. to Baltimore. I think that's a perfect fit there at Baltimore. Keon Coleman to Frisco. We have Frisco going wide receiver. And then 32, we have Arizona going. Jordan Morgan. Finally, there's Jordan Morgan, but not to the Chiefs, to Arizona. But that's what we put for our first-round mock, Chris.
Yeah, and I like the interesting thing, I think we found that is like it was really easy to exclude a lot of players that probably that have very good reasons to go in the first
Chop
round.
Chop Robinson's
like
one of
a Chop Robinson. Xavier Worthy's another one that we didn't have in the first round. I almost wanted to take him with the 49ers pick at 31, but I look at Keon Coleman and I think he kind of fits what they do better. They're not really one of those teams that is looking for that great downfield threat. They really like those guys that can catch and run and are more so going to be short yardage, very limited route depth receivers. And I think he fits in really well with that. So the reason why I'm not a huge fan of him going to the Chiefs, cause I don't think he's not a guy that stretches the field. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, this is one of those drafts where like, I think we got like 37 of those little player profile audio clips. And, you know, there's obviously going to be like five of those guys. There could be more. There could be guys that are of second round grades that go first round just because teams really like a certain player skill set better. So I think this will be a really interesting first night of the draft next Thursday, because there's just a lot of unanswered questions about a lot of these players.
We have them trading up. They could trade back. If Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr., a team really covets him at 32, and they make that move with the Chiefs, and they also draft early in the second round, that becomes kind of attractive because you look at round two in the NFL, and there seems to be some real trade partners for the Kansas City Chiefs. You look at Carolina at 33, New England at 34, Cardinals at 35, Commanders at 36, Chargers at 37. You're not getting that one. I doubt they would do business. I know they wouldn't do business with you. Then the Titans at 38 become, and really, Carolina,
well,
39,
moving,
and Washington.
If you're moving back, the Chargers might do business.
Well,
with
Carolina is sitting there at 33 and 39 in the second round. So
yeah,
that becomes maybe possible.
I don't know if Carolina's moving up unless they're for sure that the Chiefs are taking a player that they really like. Like, I don't know if Carolina is going to do that.
Or move back and take 64 and, you know.
Yeah, I think if the Chiefs are trading back, I think it's for sure a wide receiver that they're looking to get if they're trading back out of the first round.
Because there's no run on that tier two like we're expecting.
Yeah, like I said, like because if they're moving up, it could be receiver or tackle. If they're moving back, it's more than likely a wide receiver because there's just no reason for them to move back in. Because what tackle are they taking if they move out of the first round completely?
I've seen a lot of Jordan Morgan. I'm sitting here going, okay, that's a guard.
But he's a guard.
It's a guard. I don't.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
See the Chiefs go in a guard in the first round. I think they're going to draft again. I think it's half luxury and half necessity with this draft.
I think the first round you want to go with the necessity. Once you get to day two, then you can start to go luxury. Then you can go take that guard that you're probably going to need in a year when you lose both of your starting guards in the off season. Then you can go and, you know, maybe even get another corner if you really need to get a really athletic corner that you can develop into the next potential shadow corner that you have out there. I mean, there's a lot of options there once you get to day two, but I think day one is about filling your biggest need, which I think is a wide receiver.
And as far as corners are concerned, I do think there's some guys in the mid rounds that I really like still, to be honest with you. You're not going to get a Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, Nate Wiggins, Khalid McKinstry. I think you switch on that. But then there's guys like Kamari Lassiter from Georgia, I think could be a second round pick. TJ Tampa, the corner out of Iowa, that I like. Chris Abrams, Drain from Mizzou, you could get in the mid rounds. And I don't know where you think come out on corners, Chris, and what you can get, but I'm thinking about a guy like Stiggers as well. That only played, he didn't play college football, played, he was corner of the rookie of the year in the Canadian Football League, who's going to be in the NFL draft this year, that possibly he's in the mid rounds, who kind of fits that profile of what they look for.
You know, the guys I really like, I mean, Max Melton is someone that's interesting because his athletic profile is really elite. And the Chiefs, when it comes to corners, athletic profile is so important. So that's what I think is something that kind of puts him up there. But another player I've been really interested in is Renardo Green from Florida State. He played a lot of press coverage when he was there. And I think when you are evaluating corner talent, you need to look at guys who are going to play, who have played a lot of man coverage, who've played a lot of press, and are more than comfortable with being physical at the line of scrimmage. And he did that at Florida State. Now, you do have some questions about the athletic profile. He was a 4.5 40 guy. Didn't look quite as athletic as once he got to the combine that he looked on tape. But still, I mean, I think from a skill standpoint, he very much fits what you like in your secondary. So, yeah, I think, you know, if you want to go third, fourth round and look for a good athletic corner that fits what your scheme is, yeah, you absolutely want to be that. But I think a lot of people don't take that into account when they start, like, mocking players to
teams. What about Kamal Haddon from Tennessee? We had him mocked the first
day. Yeah.
It's a mid-round. It's a guy 6'1".
Right. Good size to him. You know, I mean, you'd like his missed tackle percentage to be lower. But, you know, good size to him. This is a guy that kind of played around, mostly outside corner, but he's played some slot. I like the size profile on him, you know, not quite as fast as you'd like, again, similar to like Renardo Green, but yeah, like, you know, Kamal Haddon, you look at him as like, okay, yeah, he kind of fits what the team is looking for at that position. So yeah, I definitely think that, that's on the table for sure.
Yeah. But I'm third round, maybe fourth round for corners.
Yeah, I don't want to go.
I think they've gotten value in that.
Right, and I don't want to go earlier than the third round. I'm not, unless you've got a really talented player that just absolutely free falls. Like if Melton falls to 64, okay, I'm interested. You know, if DeJean falls to 32, okay, I'm interested. But I'm not reaching for any corner here because I think the Chiefs right now are fine at corner. I know there's a lot of national media people that are you know, oh, they got rid of the best corner. Now they know they need to go get another one in the first round. It's like, no, the Chiefs planned on losing Snead 2 years ago. Like, this right here is just kind of the plan coming to fruition. So I don't know if I'd be too concerned about it to where they need to go anything earlier than round three.
What do you think about Quantes Diggers, though? I brought him up. He's 6'1", Canadian Football League. But this is a project, but it's a guy that can play football. We know that.
I mean, if you're taking a guy like that, no earlier than day three, because, you know, I don't know if I'm spending.
Round five is kind of where he's looking. And she's had two fifth rounders.
And if you want to go fifth round, you know, you want to go Stiggers fifth round, make him a project guy. Again, you're pretty deep at corner right now. You're not needing a corner. Getting another corner is nice, but you don't need to get another corner. So, yeah, if you want to go and bring a project guy in and develop him, I mean, that's what Charvarius Ward was when the Chiefs traded Parker Anger for him.
He's 22 years old. He was the most outstanding rookie in the CFL. Doesn't have that college experience, but he's got football experience, and he's a big corner.
And he's used to covering a lot of space because the CFL field is a little bit bigger than the American football field. So,
6 foot, about 200 pounds.
Yeah, so he's used to defending a little bit more field. I mean, yeah, I mean, if they like his physical profile and they feel like he fits what they like at corner, what Dave Merritt likes at corner, then, yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, I think day three is where you go and get a little sexy and get those project guys that you can develop into something special. We've seen it, obviously, with Dana and Tyreek and Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams. We've seen it plenty of times. So, yeah, if you want to go get a project guy day three, go for it.
I think he's interesting, though. Combine snub. I think that he's extremely interesting. Like, this is one of the more interesting guys in the draft, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, especially day three is really where I think the most interesting guys are, because the best teams find a guy or two every year that is able to contribute in some meaningful way over their rookie contract as a day three guy. And the Chiefs have done a lot of winning because of that. So I'm always interested, like B.J. Thompson last year, like the minute he was drafted, I was out there at the draft, and the minute he was drafted and I saw he played for Stephen F. Austin, I was like, oh, that's a Veach guy. That's a guy who was probably like a power five guy. And then he left and played at Stephen F. Austin, which is exactly what he was. He was a Baylor kid that left and played it at Stephen F. Austin. And it's like, okay, project. This is a Tano Passanio guy.
Well, Quantes did play in the Shrine game. They did allow him to play in that. Had his pro day, was right about 4.45 speed in the 40. He didn't go to the combine.
Cool.
Like
you're cool with a corner.
4.45. Yeah.
He'll take a corner at 4.4, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be watching him. Probably fourth, fifth round for Quantes there. Coming up next, though, look at mock drafts across the country, and who do they have the Kansas City Chiefs selecting next?
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Otocero for Character Concerns in here. Big thanks to Matt McMullen, who joined us. We are 1 week away from the NFL draft, Chris. 1 week away. Can you contain yourself?
You know, it probably won't really hit me until, like, day of, that it's, like, right here.
You took Friday off, man. You're ready to roll.
Oh, I took both Thursday and Friday off.
Wednesday night's going to be a pre-draft night for you. Hey, I got to watch Draft Day. I know it's a terrible movie, but it's a tradition.
I've never seen it.
You got to watch it this year.
I'm not watching it.
It's a terrible movie.
That's perfect reason for me to not watch
it. It's just one of those things, right?
It's not one of those things.
It's a tradition.
It's not a tradition.
It'll be on.
It is literally not a tradition for me. I've never seen it. So, no, I'm not going to watch it.
Well, what's your tradition then?
I don't have a tradition. No. I don't. I just, draft time. Cool. Like, I'm going to sit around and I'm going to just nerd out on NFL draft for hours.
It used to be Mayock's draft. Remember that? The mock draft, you only did like one. It was the night before the draft.
I always hated Mayock's mock draft.
But that was always the one right before the draft.
Yeah, but I hated his mocks. I was never a fan of Mike Mayock's work. And, you know, I think we saw why when he was general manager for the Raiders.
It did not work out.
It did not work out.
I was a little bit surprised because I figured he knew the tendencies of what teams were thinking.
No, because he
didn't work out at all.
He was a mock drafter. And
but I was curious about that.
Mocks.
I was wanting to see what would Mel Kiper do in a draft room, you know?
Mel Kiper would probably be terrible, too.
Yeah,
this is the thing that a lot of people don't understand.
What was he ranked, 55 in my accuracy?
Something like that. But, like, this is the thing a lot of people understand. Most people would make terrible general managers. If there were a lot of really good general managers out there, there wouldn't be bad football teams. But that's just how it is, man. Like, this is just one of those games where, like, you only have a select few great people who are great at their jobs, and everyone else is average or below.
913-576-7810 is the text line number and the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Let me know who you would take in the first round, because I looked at, I've looked at 50 and I've looked at 40. Now I just looked at 20 mock drafts, anywhere from NFL.com, CBSSports.com, Sporting News, 33rd Team, Pro Football Focus, some of the ones that we liked. And here was the consensus, Chris. Let me see what you think of this. One of them, Pro Football Focus, had us trading up to 29 for Ladd McConkey. Actually, had the Chiefs moving.
The Chiefs aren't trading up.
I know. I don't think so either.
But whoa, what are you trading up to 29
Nathan
for
Jenke
him?
Had him trading up in that position.
You can get
from Detroit.
Who is Baltimore taking Ladd McConkey? No, I don't think that. Are the 49ers taking Ladd McConkey? No, I don't think that. What are we doing here?
Out of these 20 mocks, the biggest consensus was A.D. Mitchell. 5 of the 20 was A.D. Xavier Leggett with 2. Jordan Morgan, the tackle slash guard from Arizona.
Just call him a guard.
He had 2. Ladd McConkey, 3. Jalen Polk, 1. That was Schrager. He had Jalen Polk, the only one to have Jalen Polk in that first round. And Ricky Purcell from Florida got 2 votes.
That confuses me.
And by the way, Thor liked him as like wide receiver 4 or 5.
I like Purcell a lot, man. And I he was a guy I talked about starting in like October. I was like, watch out for Ricky Purcell. Probably going to be an early day 3 guy, maybe late day 2, but that's a guy to look out for. And he really worked his way up to probably the second round. I don't think he's a first round guy, but like, let's be honest here, man. Like, he's a very good athlete. He works his ass off, man, but he's not as good as the tier 2 guys.
You watched a lot of Florida.
Yeah. I mean, it's my favorite team. It's my favorite team. I watched it and I see how he works. I don't see him being a first round talent. If he would be a first round talent, maybe in last year's draft, just because of how weak that receiver class was. He's not a first round talent this year. He's a second round talent. And he's talented. You know, he's a good player, but he's not what A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, and Brian Thomas Jr. are.
But A.D. Mitchell, a guy that we had that got the consensus of picks. So you're sitting there at 32, luxury, or are you just going to settle? I don't think the Chiefs are going to settle for anything. If there's really a guy they like and value, they will move.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if they really like a guy first round and they feel like he's within range to go get, they will go get him. I mean, we've seen that. We've seen proof of that with what they did the last 2 years. Obviously, 2 years ago, going up and getting Trent McDuffie. We saw it last year in the second and third rounds. Day 2 was all about them moving up to get a guy they liked. Got Rashee Rice in round 2, got Wanya Morris round 3. Yeah, that's really the chief strategy. If you like a guy, go get him.
And 785 had Kingsley, the Sumatia, the left tackle.
Sumatia
from the left tackle from BYU. But again, you got to think. Put your thinking hat on. Well, Andy Reid, he is a true left tackle. I'll give him that.
Yeah,
will Andy Reid start a rookie from BYU? I know the BYU connection. They did not go Puka the year before, by the way, and he's a BYU guy. But will Andy Reid really start a rookie at left tackle? And then why are you going left tackle instead of wide receiver? You know there's a need there. There was a need there before, but now with Rice, you don't know the situation.
Yeah, I understand the because, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions about Wanye. And, you know, you heard, you know, earlier this week, Andy kind of alluded to
needs work and
you know,
all that.
Needs work, which, yeah, he does need work. I mean,
He says that about a lot of people.
I've been saying that since middle of last year. Like, after his first couple starts, I was like, yeah, he needs some work. You know, he'll get beat by a speed rush. A lot of edge rushers can beat tackles in general.
And he was thrown in cold sometimes.
Yeah, he was thrown in cold. I mean, this was a guy that just got thrown out and put in a position, and he's going against good edge rushers, and that's going to happen. Orlando Brown Jr. got his ass beat on some reps. So did Andrew Wiley. So did Eric Fisher. So did Brandon Albert. Remember when Brandon Albert first started in Kansas City? We hated him because he wasn't that good. I mean, this is just part of the game, and it takes some time to get used to playing that position. And I'm just not confident that there is a day one starter that you can pick up late first round. And if there isn't, then, you know, I'm just not in the position to go up and reach on a left tackle.
I don't think they're in position to redshirt.
No. I'm not. And if you're redshirting, it's like, what happens if Wanye actually turns out to be a really good left tackle? Well, now you just wasted a first round pick on a guy who's not going to play.
And Donovan Smith's got some injury concerns. I get it. Would that be a guy that comes back? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I
did start the Super Bowl for you.
If he's about it, and he played a lot better when he came back from that neck injury, if he's about it and you feel like he still got it as far as being able to handle the athletic requirements to play that position, why not go bring him back for another year and have him compete with Wanye and best guy wins?
And he's been on an offensive line guarding Tom Brady. They gave up the fewest sacks in the NFL.
Right. Yeah. You're comfortable with that, with the experience that he has. And if anything, at the very minimum, he could be a good veteran to help Wanye come along if you feel like that's your guy at that left tackle position.
Here's where the Chiefs draft: round one, pick 32, round two, pick 64, which is the very end of the second round. Round three, pick 95, round four, pick 131. Round five, they have two, pick 159 in the comp pick at 173. Then they got out of the seventh round pick swap there with Tennessee. We're going to have the fifth to last pick in the draft. They now have 221, which is the first pick in the seventh round, which does open some things. I mean, you're sitting there, they don't have a sixth rounder, so they get the first pick in the seventh round, which becomes interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, let's not discount the Titans pick that they just got for next year. That could be packaged in a trade. Like, if we're, you know, making a bet who's going to have the higher third round pick in 2025, I'd bet on that Titans pick being higher and being more valuable. So I definitely think that could be packaged in some sort of move to move up, maybe day two if they really like a guy. So, I mean, there's a lot of options that the Chiefs have here. I love the fact that the Chiefs are in this position where they can get a little sexy after you address your wide receiver need round one. You can get a little sexy day two, day three.
Friday night is really one of my favorite nights.
Yes.
With that second and third round, man.
Yeah.
You can get some serious playmakers, some starters on the team. That's where Kelsey came out of, Priest Holmes. There's guys in the second and third round that are fun.
That's where you can. That's where you win at in this league is day two.
Friday night.
You win day two, you're probably going to have a really good team in the near future because you're filling out your roster with some really good players that are, you know, were undervalued a little bit. You're getting lesser picks there, and you're turning those guys into starting caliber players. Day two is where you win on the draft.
Teams get 7 minutes to pick in second round, and then third round you get 3 through 6. They get 5 minutes, then 4 minutes for round seven. You get 10 minutes in the first round. That'll be the prime time when on Thursday night, and we look forward to all the different selections, and it becomes more fast and furious as we get through the weekend. Coming up next, though, Chris, a list was out from NFL.com about teams drafting for need, and I didn't see the Chiefs. Where the hell are they? Next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday morning starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Inocero from the 785. I like offensive tackle in the first and wide receiver plus running back or tight end day two. Well, you better have a wide receiver day two because you're not going to go first 2 days without a wide receiver.
Yeah, I just don't – like, my thing is, like, unless you're getting, like, a Tez Walker at 64, which I'm not confident you're going to be able to get at 64.
Running back, that's way too early.
I'm probably not going running back until round four. I mean,
and that's an Isaac Grindo maybe in the fourth
round. Yeah, I think Isaac Grindo. I think Cody Schrader is going to be a good option. Do I think you might be able to get him round five? I think day three is where you get your running back. I think you're reaching if you go running back day two, even though, like, you know, there's some good running backs day two. It's just like, I don't think you need to go that high at that position. It's just, there's a lot of good running backs that come out of day three.
His mid round, Will Shipley.
Yeah.
Some Ray Davis.
Ray Davis might be third round, but like, yeah.
Estime, who didn't have a good 40 time at the combine, but did much better in his pro day.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, my guy's Garindo. I mean, that's been
I like
my
him
guy
too.
For
I like
while.
Garindo too.
Yeah, he really impressed me at the, you know, in the workouts and whatnot, combine. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of good options there, and on day three at running back. So like, to me, kind of feel like you're reaching for that position.
CBS did a list of 2024 draft, the Cowboys and Titans and others teams most likely to draft for need in the first round. And they have the Titans with tackle. They have the Saints with tackle as well. They've got the Cowboys tackle as well. Pass rusher Falcons. You and I had a pass rusher to the Falcons. By the way, you can hear our full mock draft on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. And the Colts, they have with cornerback and Detroit Lions cornerback for need, but no Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are in a position of need in the first round. Like, I can't get out of that, Chris. The fact of... I've thought wide receiver all along. It becomes more prevalent now. I just don't see them getting out. They would be a team that would, I think, and I know you don't want to draft, quote, for need. You want best player available. But I do feel the Chiefs are right up there with position of need, which is wide receiver.
I think the need matches the value. And, you know, so for me, like, that's why I think it matches up. So I think when the need matches the value in the draft, then I think it's okay to draft for need. What becomes a problem is like, okay, we need a running back. Let's go take a running back in the first round. Like, that to me is when you start, it gets a little bit too much.
And they don't need to do that. They right. don't need to do it at all. Seventh leading rusher in the NFL is Pacheco, seventh
runner.
It's
like, that's the thing with me for like tackle. A, I don't think it's a need. It's a, yeah, I'd like to get another tackle, but I don't think they need to go early with that tackle. But, like, my thing is, there's probably not that guy late first round.
Here's another one from the text line. Explain to me why we need another running back with Pacheco and CEH on the roster. Well, it's a late rounder because eventually I don't think you're going to pay Pacheco the second contract.
No.
That's first of all.
2 years. He's halfway through his rookie
and
deal.
One, J.K. Dobbins isn't that, okay, post-draft maybe signing with him going to the Chargers at this point. And you got health. What if somebody goes down? Who else is going to be your running back? It doesn't look like Jerick McKinnon is coming back this year. So, yeah, I do believe you get another running back. Not early on. Late in the draft. Sixth round. They don't have a sixth rounder. Excuse me. Seventh rounder. I'm fine with that.
Fifth, seventh, fourth. I'm cool with fourth.
I'm with that, but not in the first three rounds. No way.
I think the reason why you
but
want
you
another
need a running back.
You want another running back because Clyde's only here for one more year. Pacheco's got two more years left on his deal. Pacheco also gets hurt a decent amount because he runs a very violent style.
Runs as hard as anybody.
Yeah, and so it's like you want to get depth at that position because it's a position that Andy values. And not only that, but like running back has been paramount to the success for the Chiefs the last 2 years. Jet McKinnon's value is so understated. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Orlando Brown Jr. and Andrew Wiley should both donate some of the money they got on their contracts to Jet McKinnon because Jet McKinnon saved their asses on a lot of pass rush plays in 22 because he came in and chipped on the edge
tremendous
and prevented
blocker.
Them from giving up sacks. So that's why it's important because the running back is a very important position for the Chiefs scheme. And right now you've got some uncertainty after 2024.
You know, I thought Clyde did a great job blocking. That was kind of really thing.
And
I think Clyde did it.
Too.
I think Clyde did a really good
he's
job.
Real small. He's only 5'6", so it's like
he was doing some decleaters early on. The
yeah,
season.
He's done. He did a really good job, but it's like he's only on a 1 year deal. Like it's people underestimate the value of the rookie contract, and that's why the draft is so important because you get 4 to 5 years of team control over that player. So to have
it's like they're sitting in a corner and getting done for the next 2 years.
So to have another running back that you've got 4 years of control over is pretty damn nice. So that's the reason why you want to go that on day three.
Coming up next, we'll give our final thoughts on this year's draft because we have the draft coming up on next Thursday night at the Landing in Liberty. Hope you can join us there. We'll give the final thoughts before we look at the draft next week.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Chris Sinocero from the Character Concerns, 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special. Well, Chris, we started this journey a couple months before February of 23, before the draft in Kansas City, which, to be honest with you, was awesome. You made it down there Saturday afternoon, didn't you? After our show?
Yeah. Once we finished at noon, I went out there, got to experience the NFL draft live. And
so you saw make some picks then when you went down there.
Yeah, I saw, I think we left like right early in the seventh round. But yeah, we got to see the picks in the in the fifth round and sixth round. Saw Coburn, saw B.J. Thompson, which was, it was funny. The minute I saw B.J. Thompson, Stephen F. Austin, I was like, that's a Brett Veach project guy. So yeah, I mean, it was a really cool experience. It's going to be really fun in Detroit, I'm sure. And it's good that they've made this a touring show every year, and all these different fan bases around the country get to experience it.
It's in Green Bay next year. I think places like that are great. Yeah, I know they're putting in places with Super Bowl. LA's going to have it. Vegas, because the Super Bowl's there. Vegas already had it. I like towns like Kansas City, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Green Bay, Detroit. I like these that aren't getting the Super Bowl, getting the draft.
I mean, I think everybody should get it, but yeah, it is really cool to see them prioritize that. Though Detroit has had a Super Bowl before and probably should get another one.
They have. That's where Jerome Bettis won.
Right, as Buss retired after that one. I think that the NFL, it's funny, it's like you hear people like last weekend, oh, the Masters is the best non-NFL Sunday, non-NFL season Sunday in one of the top sporting, non-football sporting events that happened on the calendar. And I'm not a big golf guy, so I don't care. But like the draft for me, outside of like NFL season, outside of the Super Bowl and all of that, and like the college football playoff, NFL draft is where it's at for me.
I'm with you on that. I think it's one of the definite highlights. And it's become such a bigger deal in the NFL. Like the schedule.
The game, and it takes some time to get used to playing that position. And I'm just not confident that there is a day one starter that you can pick up late first round. And if there isn't, then, I'm just not in the position to go up and reach on a left tackle.
I don't think they're in position to redshirt.
No. I'm not, and if you're redshirting, it's like, what happens if Wanye actually turns out to be a really good left tackle? Well, now you just wasted a first round pick on a guy who's not going to play.
And Donovan Smith's got some injury concerns. I get it. Would that be a guy that comes back? Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I
did start the Super Bowl for you.
If he's about it, and he played a lot better when he came back from that neck injury. If he's about it and you feel like he still got it as far as being able to handle the athletic requirements to play that position, why not go bring him back for another year and have him compete with Wanye and best guy wins?
And he's been on an offensive line guarding Tom Brady. They gave up the fewest sacks in the NFL.
Right. Yeah. You're comfortable with that, with the experience that he has. And if anything, at the very minimum, he could be a good veteran to help Wanye come along if you feel like that's your guy at that left tackle position.
Here's where the Chiefs draft: round one, pick 32, round two, pick 64, which is the very end of the second round, round three, pick 95, round four, pick 131, round five, they have two, pick 159, then the comp pick at 173. Then they got out of the seventh round pick swap there with Tennessee. We're going to have the fifth to last pick in the draft. They now have 221, which is the first pick in the seventh round, which does open some things. I mean, you're sitting there, they don't have a sixth rounder, so they get the first pick in the seventh round, which becomes interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and, let's not discount the Titans pick that they just got for next year. That could be packaged in a trade. Like, if we're, making a bet, who's going to have the higher third round pick in 2025, I'd bet on that Titans pick being higher and being more valuable. So I definitely think that that could be packaged in some sort of move to move up, maybe day two if they really like a guy. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options that the Chiefs have here. I love the fact that the Chiefs are in this position where they probably – they can get a little sexy after you address your wide receiver need round one. You can get a little sexy day two, day three.
Friday night is really one of my favorite nights.
Yes.
With that second and third round, man.
Yeah.
You can get some serious playmakers, some starters on the team. That's where Kelsey came out of, Priest Holmes. There's guys in the second and third round that are fun.
That's where you can. That's where you win at in this league is day two.
Friday night.
You win day two, you're probably going to have a really good team in the near future because you're filling out your roster with some really good players that are, you know, were undervalued a little bit. You're getting lesser picks there, and you're turning those guys into starting caliber players. Day two is where you win on the draft.
Teams get 7 minutes to pick in second round, and then third round you get 3 through 6. They get 5 minutes, then 4 minutes for round seven. You get 10 minutes in the first round. That'll be the prime time when on Thursday night, and we look forward to all the different selections, and it becomes more fast and furious as we get through the weekend. Coming up next, though, Chris, a list was out from NFL.com about teams drafting for need, and I didn't see the Chiefs. Where the hell are they? Next.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Inocero from the 785. I like offensive tackle in the first and wide receiver plus running back or tight end day two. Well, you better have a wide receiver day two because you're not going to go first 2 days without a wide receiver.
Yeah, I just don't – like, my thing is, like, unless you're getting, like, a Tez Walker at 64, which I'm not confident you're going to be able to get at 64.
Running back, that's way too early.
Yeah, I'm probably not going running back until round four. I mean,
and that's an Isaac Grendo maybe in the fourth round.
Yeah, I think Isaac Grendo. I think Cody Schrader is going to be a good option. Do I think you might be able to get him round five? I think day three is where you get your running back. I think you're reaching if you go running back day two, even though, like, you know, there's some good running backs day two. It's just like, I don't think you need to go that high at that position. It's just, there's a lot of good running backs that come out of day three.
His mid round, Will Shipley.
Yeah.
Some Ray Davis.
Ray Davis might be third round, but like, yeah.
Estime, who didn't have a good 40 time at the combine, but did much better in his pro day.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, my guy's Garindo. I mean, that's been
I like Garindo too.
Yeah. He really impressed me at the, you know, in the workouts and whatnot, combine. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of good options there and on day three at running back. So like, to me, kind of feel like you're reaching for that position.
CBS did a list of 2024 draft, the Cowboys and Titans and others, teams most likely to draft for need in the first round. And they have the Titans with tackle. They have the Saints with tackle as well. They've got the Cowboys tackle as well. Pass rusher Falcons. You and I had a pass rusher to the Falcons. By the way, you can hear our full mock draft on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. And the Colts, they have with cornerback and Detroit Lions cornerback for need, but no Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are in a position of need in the first round. Like, I can't get out of that, Chris. The fact of, I've thought wide receiver all along. It becomes more prevalent now. I just don't see them getting out. They would be a team that would, I think, and I know you don't want to draft, quote, for need. You want best player available, but I do feel the Chiefs are right up there with position of need, which is wide receiver.
I think the need matches the value. And, you know, so for me, like, that's why I think it matches up. So I think when the need matches the value in the draft, then I think it's okay to draft for need. What becomes a problem is like, okay, we need a running back. Let's go take a running back in the first round. Like, that to me is when you start, it gets a little bit too much.
And they don't need to do that. They don't need to do it at all. Seventh leading rusher in the NFL is Pacheco, seventh
runner. It's like, that's the thing with me for like tackle. A, I don't think it's a need. It's a, yeah, I'd like to get another tackle, but I don't think they need to go early with that tackle. But like, my thing is, just probably not that guy late first round.
Here's another one from the text line. Explain to me why we need another running back with Pacheco and CEH on the roster. Well, it's a late rounder because eventually I don't think you're going to pay Pacheco the second contract.
No.
That's first of all.
2 years. He's halfway through his rookie
and
deal.
One, J.K. Dobbins isn't that post-draft maybe signing with him going to the Chargers at this point. And you got health. What if somebody goes down? Who else is going to be your running back? It doesn't look like Jerick McKinnon is coming back this year. So, yeah, I do believe you get another running back. Not early on. Late in the draft. Sixth round. They don't have a sixth rounder. Excuse me. Seventh rounder. I'm fine with that.
Fifth, seventh, fourth. I'm cool with fourth.
I'm with that, but not in the first three rounds. No way.
I think the reason why you
want another running back.
You want another running back because Clyde's only here for one more year. Pacheco's got two more years left on his deal. Pacheco also gets hurt a decent amount because he runs a very violent style.
Runs as hard as anybody.
Yeah, and so it's like you want to get depth at that position because it's a position that Andy values. And not only that, but like running back has been paramount to the success for the Chiefs the last 2 years. Jet McKinnon's value is so understated. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Orlando Brown Jr. and Andrew Wiley should both donate some of the money they got on their contracts to Jet McKinnon because Jet McKinnon saved their asses on a lot of pass rush plays in 22 because he came in and chipped on the edge
tremendous
prevented
blocker.
Them from giving up sacks. So that's why it's important because the running back is a very important position for the Chiefs scheme. And right now you've got some uncertainty after 2024.
You know, I thought Clyde did a great job blocking. That was kind of really thing.
And
I think Clyde did it.
Too.
I think Clyde did a really good
he's
job.
Real small. He's only 5'6", so it's like
he was doing some decleaters early on.
Yeah, he did a really good job, but it's like he's only on a 1 year deal. Like it's people underestimate the value of the rookie contract. And that's why the draft is so important. Because you get 4 to 5 years of team control over that player. So to have
it's like they're sitting in the corner and getting done for the next year now.
So to have another running back that you've got 4 years of control over is pretty damn nice. So that's the reason why you want to go that on day three.
Coming up next, we'll give our final thoughts on this year's draft because we have the draft coming up on next Thursday night at the Landing in Liberty. Hope you can join us there. We'll give the final thoughts before we look at the draft next week.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday morning starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Onocero from the Character Concerns, 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special. Well, Chris, we started this journey a couple months before February of 23, before the draft in Kansas City, which, to be honest with you, was awesome. You made it down there Saturday afternoon, didn't you? After our show?
Yeah. Once we finished at noon, I went out there, got to experience the NFL draft live. And
so you saw make some picks then when you went down there.
Yeah, I saw, I think we left like right early in the seventh round. But yeah, we got to see the picks in the in the fifth round and sixth round. Saw Coburn, saw B.J. Thompson, which was it was funny. The minute I saw B.J. Thompson, Stephen F. Austin, I was like, that's a Brett Veach project guy. So, yeah, I mean, it was a really cool experience. It's going to be really fun in Detroit, I'm sure. And it's good that they've, made this a touring show every year. And, all these different fan bases around the country get to experience it.
It's in Green Bay next year. I think places like that are great. Yeah, I know they're putting in places with Super Bowl. LA's, going to have it. Vegas, because the Super Bowl's there. Vegas already had it. I like towns like Kansas City, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Green Bay, Detroit. I like these that aren't getting the Super Bowl, getting the draft.
I mean, I think everybody should get it, but yeah, it is really cool to see them prioritize that. Though Detroit has had a Super Bowl before and probably should get another one.
They have. That's where Jerome Bettis won.
Right, as Buss retired after that one. I think that the NFL, it's funny, it's like you hear people like last weekend, oh, the Masters is the best non-NFL Sunday, non-NFL season Sunday in one of the top sporting, non-football sporting events that happened on the calendar. And I'm not a big golf guy, so I don't care. But, like, the draft for me, outside of, like, NFL season, outside of the Super Bowl and all of that, and, like, the college football playoff, the NFL draft is where it's at for me.
I'm with you on that. I think it's one of the definite highlights, and it's become such a bigger deal in the NFL. You know, like, the schedule release was no big deal a couple years ago. Now it's become a huge deal with, you know, the networks, you know, giving out on their morning show, which NFL games they have for prime time. It's become a much bigger deal. But the NFL draft has become an animal in itself. People like booing Goodell, and he likes it when they boo him and he goes out there. But it's the whole future of your team, man. It is such an important day. The offseason is the most important time for NFL teams doing anything. And the draft has become fun. We know the combine and its numbers, the people watching, even though it's not prime time anymore like it was for a couple of years. The guys didn't like running that late. They run in the afternoons. But I think there's more attention this year on college football. And I think a lot of that was brought on, you know, Deion, you name it, was, and it's going to be a lot more attention on college football with the playoffs expanding. But you get to see, and most people know, it's like different, so much different than the other drafts. Like Major League Baseball, a lot of these guys you haven't seen play in high school. And even the NBA, a lot of these guys international, you haven't seen them play. But the NFL, you've seen these guys play for your team.
And I think the interesting thing about it is that it's mastered the primetime moments and the primetime presentation, unlike any of those other sports. You know, you look at the NBA draft, not even all the lottery players are going to be stars, which, you know, this first 14 picks of the draft are the lottery. Not even all of those guys are going to be stars. Maybe like 5 to 7 of those guys going in the lottery picks are going to be stars. There's just so much unknown about that. Baseball, same thing. Those guys, most of those guys are going to play like 2 to 5 years in the minors before they get called up. And, you know, so for a lot of those guys, there is that, there's kind of a waiting period before they actually go to stardom. But in the NFL, there's so many rookies that come in and are impact players immediately. Some of them even like some of the best players in the league immediately as rookies. And that's the reason why the draft is so important, because a lot of times many of those players immediately translate to the NFL. Like we saw with like C.J. Stroud this past year.
Yeah, it's where your team's built. And whether you take a red shirt on a few guys like we saw with Passanio a few years ago or B.J. Thompson this year. One thing about the Chiefs, they've kind of come that way like the Patriots were and the Steelers were. When you're drafted with this team, you're expected to play. It doesn't matter if you're 6th round, 7th round, you're expected to come in and perform because they need you. And they definitely used that with those 5 rookie defensive backs 2 years ago in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, look.
And you're walking into the locker room with Kelce and Mahomes and Andy Reid there. I mean, it's much different, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, you know, a lot of those guys are going to go to bad teams, and they're going to have to be the culture, the people who build the cultures there. But when you go to a team like the Chiefs, who already have their culture guys in, and so you're just trying to, you know, let something happen there and, you know, make some magic with the guys who are already established and fit into what they've built, it certainly makes it a lot easier to transition over. I mean, all those guys that came in 22, you know, they didn't have to be leaders. Some of them stepped up and became those guys, but they didn't have to be leaders. There's a lot of guys who are coming in and they're 22, 23 years old, and they got to be a leader in a locker room full of bad players. And that's tough, man.
So as we've sat here looking at all these matchups through September and guys we liked, I can only assume Isaac Grindo. Last year was Hunter Luepke for us. I assume Grindo is your kind of draft guy.
Grindo's my guy. I love that kid.
You know who mine is.
Yeah.
Luke.
You love Luke McCaffrey.
That's right.
My guy's Grindo. I mean, just he reminds me of Pacheco, just a little faster, a little bigger. Man, he could do some special things in the passing game and in the running game. So,
well, we'll see if we get our wish.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice.
Hopefully we'll get some right. I mean,
yeah.
Last year I only got 1 right snacks.
Right.
You had 2 right, didn't you?
No, I got FAU last year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You had FAU in the 1st round. I just had snacks. Oh, well. Thanks to Matt McMullen from the Kansas City Chiefs that joined us. Thank you for downloading and subscribing to our podcast each and every week, Character Concerns. For Chris and Osiris, I'm Jay Binkley saying, hopefully we'll see you at the Landing in Liberty next week.
See you guys next week.
Good night.
Footsteps, baby, in the dark.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Preview Special with Chris and Bink. Download their Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app or listen on Saturday mornings starting at 10 right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.